Hey, it's Jordan and Allison. Before we get into today's episode, I'd like to introduce our sponsor, Jane, a clinic management software and EMR with a human touch.
Whether you're switching your software or going paperless for the first time, the Jane team knows that the onboarding process can feel a little overwhelming. That's why with Jane, you don't just get a software, you get a whole team.
Including in every Jane subscription is their award-winning customer support available by phone, email, and chat whenever you need it, even Saturdays. You can also book a free account setup consultation to review your account and ensure you feel confident about going live.
And if you'd like some extra advice along the way, you can tap into a lovely community of practitioners, clinic owners, and front desk staff through Jane's community Facebook group.
If you're interested in making the switch to Jane, head to jane.app/switch to book a one-on-one demo with a member of their support team.
And don't forget to mention our very special code, EdgeCouch1Mo, at the time of sign up for a 1 month grace period on your new Jane account.
And now on to the episode. Welcome to season 6 of Edge of the Couch. We are here to create a space to delve into the topics that were either shied away from or dismissed because they were too big, too nuanced, too risky, or too uncomfortable to talk about in school or even supervision.
Edge of the Couch is not training or supervision. It is for student therapists, new therapists, and therapists wanting to continue to explore their evolving therapist identities and ways of working. When we are talking about clients, please know we are deeply committed to protecting client confidentiality. We are two passionate therapists and good friends sharing our personal opinions about the therapeutic process.
Come join us at the edge of the couch. Hey everyone, welcome back to Edge of the Couch. I'm Jordan Pickell.
And I'm Allison McCleary.
We have a very juicy topic for you today. Mm-hmm. We started talking through what we could explore during this conversation, and Allison was like, Jordan, we have to start recording because
it was so good already.
Yeah, so I think that this will inspire a really interesting conversation, and I think very relevant to new therapists.
Agreed. Yeah. Tell them what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. So today we're talking about how to respond to clients who often say, I don't know. They respond to, I don't know, to some of the questions that you ask.
Yeah.
And as a new therapist, I remember feeling frozen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And panicking. Yeah. Really just like mind goes blank. I feel like a terrible therapist. This means that next time I have to prepare more questions. Mm-hmm. Or I didn't do this, but I know that some therapists can be like, it's the client.
Yeah.
Like, this is a difficult client.
Yes.
That also is hard. That story of I'm working with somebody who's hard to work with.
Yeah.
Because they aren't answering my questions.
Yeah. We wanted to start by talking about what the experience of the therapist can be, especially mm-hmm. new therapist. And we both acknowledge that when we were newer in the field, when a client would say, I don't know, to a question, or if a client was someone who like often answered, I don't know, it is so dysregulating as a therapist.
As a new therapist.
As a new therapist.
Yes.
You've put so much work into the questions that you're formulating. You're doing so much mental work to track. And then you ask a question and it falls like a lead balloon. Oh, shit. Mm-hmm. What do I do now? The ball has been volleyed back too fast. I'm not ready. I wasn't ready yet. Mm-hmm. I was waiting for an answer. I do want you to talk about the point, though, that this isn't happening to us as often yes. anymore.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it happens much to me anymore at all. And I think this is probably true for therapists as they get more experience. I ask better questions.
Yes.
They are more open-ended. There are less solid answers. I know my clients really well, and I can have some intuition about what is a question that will inspire some more reflection and
yes.
connection with their inner experience versus something that's super cognitive. The client probably doesn't have an answer to.
Yeah.
And when clients do say, I don't know, I don't panic because I know yeah. exactly where I'm going to go next. I yeah. go, oh, you don't know? Let's pivot to this way. I would say almost never do I have an experience with a client where I'm peppering them with questions and every step of the way it's, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. That doesn't happen mm-hmm. to me anymore.
But it did when I was in practicum.
Yes,
it did where I'd be like, this question, nothing. This question, nothing. And then I would just be like, I feel like I'm working so hard. And like, The reason why it feels so scary is because it immediately puts you as a therapist in the hot seat. Mm-hmm. Now I have to know what to do. And so what we're saying is like the seat has become colder for us. As it comes back to us with an I don't know, it's kind of like, okay, this is fine. Mm-hmm. We're just going to move on. But it did not feel that way in the first year or two of clinical work.
Well, and as you know, so, yeah. I've talked about my experience, what style I had, which is that I would sort of plan out what questions I would ask. So it'd be like, I'd ask this question and then they're going to respond.
Then they'd answer.
And then I'm going to go into the, if they answer it this way, I'm going to go in this direction.
Yes, like a flow chart.
Yes. Quite literally, I would make a flow chart about what direction the session could go.
Oh my gosh. That's really
funny.
And
so when I was thrown off, I would be.
There's no chart for this.
I have no idea where to go. And in fact, I would be like, how do I get back on the chart? How do I get back to the plan that I had?
This is making me laugh so hard. I don't want to just like laugh into the microphone.
So much laughter right now. She's tearing up.
It's so funny. Not just you, but just remembering being like, there is a goal for this session.
Yes.
And no matter what the client says, I am getting us to this point. Like that sense. I've heard it in some of my practicum students too. Like, let's listen to this audio and we can hear that you are like, how do I get us back to what I thought we should talk about? Mm-hmm. So funny. So hopefully we're like normalizing that experience. And while I didn't prepare for sessions in that same way, I 100% did not know how to respond to I don't know in an effective way. Before we dive into what we do when a client says I don't know, why don't we start with some of the reasons why a client might answer with I don't know?
From the client's end, it could be that they don't have the language. Maybe they really don't know. They don't have that connection with their inner experience, or it could be a pre-language feeling. And that's part of what they're coming to therapy for is, right, to find the language to their inner experience. It could be that they're emotionally overwhelmed and can't say the words. Sometimes it's the too much information and they have this sort of cognitive overload and they can't process what's happening in the moment. What I want to underline is that that's not about the client. It's not about the problem in the client as much as it's that we are going too fast, that we are not staying attuned with the client in terms of where they're at and the way that their brain processes information, their nervous system processes what's happening in the moment. Or we're just asking too many questions or not the right questions.
Or bad questions. Bad quality questions that then, you know, a client is like, I don't really know what you're asking me. So the I don't know is like, what? What did you mean?
And then, again, the panic that comes to that. It's like, oh, you're right. It sort of points at, you're right, that was a terrible question.
Which is so funny because I think I still do that kind of regularly. Like, I think I'm asking a question well and the client is kind of like, huh? But I feel much better able now to be like, oh my gosh, that was gibberish. Or like, that was not a great question. Here's what I meant. Anything else you would add for your reasons why?
Oh, well, I have a ton, but I thought maybe you want to share some.
Oh, should I share a couple?
Yeah.
Okay. An inability to articulate. So sometimes clients know in their body, but the like speaking it out loud, they try and they're like, this isn't quite what I mean. I don't really know. I'm trying to figure out an answer and like, I can't connect to it. So I just don't know. I think too that clients sometimes are scared to say. So for that emotional flooding reason, like I'm scared to say it because then it's real and I'll feel overwhelmed. Or they're worried about your response to an honest answer. So the I don't know is like relationally protective or it's protecting them from potentially judgment. They are worried about being judged or maybe hurting your feelings. So maybe they have an answer, like especially if you're doing like a relational conversation, like how are we doing? And they say, I don't know, to kind of salvage your feelings as the
therapist. Yeah. Yeah, they could be feeling shame for what they want to tell you. And like you said, sometimes it's, I'm going to make it real. I came to therapy even to say this thing. And then to say it means that we have to address it.
Yeah, now we have to talk about it.
Yes. It might be a fear of what your duties to report are. That's something that comes up on Reddit quite a bit around, can I tell my therapist that I'm having these thoughts? How are they going to respond to that? And there are some people in the comments who say, don't tell them. Don't tell them if it sounds like this.
And we know many therapists, in my opinion, do overreact to a whole pool of disclosures that, in our opinions, do not meet the threshold for things to report, but can still get really big reactions from mm-hmm. therapists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes there's a cultural piece or a gender piece or just the family that they grew up in terms of what it means to express yourself, share your thoughts or your feelings or your needs, and to actually take up space in therapy is foreign. It's just weird and maybe it feels vulnerable, or it just doesn't quite even compute. Like, what do you mean you are asking me these questions?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a huge piece. What a client has learned, been told, has like formulated themselves about sharing their internal experience. Huge, huge, huge.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes saying I don't know is a bit like a social, in the English language anyway, automatic response. I can think of the word where it's like, I don't know. And then they actually pause and they do formulate an mm-hmm, answer. Mm-hmm. But if you respond too quickly to the I don't know, then you may have been like truncating their thought process. With each client, I do think we get into a rhythm with them where we begin to learn. Some clients say, I don't know, and then that is like their full answer. Sometimes clients say, I don't know, and actually they just need a beat to like think. They just need mm-hmm. us to pause a little.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that a lot because I tend to be someone who moves really quickly. And so I often have to remind myself to just slow down and see if the answer emerges.
Mm-hmm. And I think that would be a pretty common piece of feedback to a new therapist. It's like moving too quickly. And especially because you have this idea that therapy is short,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that each session needs to be a big revelation.
Yes.
And so I'm going to push for an agenda that doesn't really resonate with the client.
Yeah, right. There's kind of this like sprinting towards something. I mean, all the time, I think you and I want it to be much more of like a self-paced walk towards whatever it is that we're walking towards.
Yeah.
What we are not doing is shaming, blaming the client for an I don't know response.
Mm-hmm.
This was a topic that was requested by listeners. And I think it is a common conversation that comes up in the therapy world. But some of the responses can be about, from therapists, can be more about like client reluctance, mm-hmm. resistance. Mm-hmm. It can be stuff like all that language around like, are this person not trying hard in the therapy? Almost never do I think that a client is being like purposefully obstructing the conversation by saying, I don't know.
There could be, I think, a process conversation happening there where they mm-hmm. don't like the work that they're doing.
Sure.
Where it is purposefully, it's like, I don't know.
I don't know. Like, I don't want to talk about this.
Yes. I don't want to talk about this. This is not relevant.
Yeah.
So you're going to ask me all these questions and I'm just going to be like, I don't know. Because you're not giving me mm-hmm. an opportunity to say, I actually want to be doing something different.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to sort of show, not verbally, non-verbally, not be explicit that I don't want to talk about this. Yeah. I'm just going to give sort of short answers like, I want to get through this so that we can get to something that I want to talk about.
Yeah. And perfect segue into the fact that sometimes if we have an I don't know thing going on and we don't, as a therapist, know why the I don't know what's coming up. We have this list that we've just given you of all these potentials. That's not an exhaustive list. There's probably a million other things. But the here and now conversation about, hey, what's going on when we're bumping into these I don't knows can happen from the therapist. The therapist kind of meant bringing it up. I noted in my notes and underlined it. I think it's a very gentle conversation because we certainly don't want to make clients think that it's like bad or wrong to answer with I don't know. It needs to be once rapport is established. But I have certainly had conversations with clients saying, I notice when I ask questions in this way, it often results in you saying, I don't know. Is there something we can do here so that this feels more productive for us? Or asking questions in a way that you feel more better able to answer or more open to answering. I think there is space for that.
Mm-hmm. Tell me why you feel like we should be tread carefully with that conversation.
For all the reasons that we said, I think that, I mean, we should probably tread carefully with a lot of the here and now process conversations.
Right, but that's true.
If someone is saying, I don't know, because they're scared of their emotional response, or even maybe even more so, if someone is saying, I don't know, because they genuinely don't know, I think like we don't want to highlight it in a way that makes the client feel like they are doing therapy wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that if this is handled like maybe a bit more sharply, it can leave clients feeling that they have failed in some way. When yeah. it's more like, I just want to make this better for you.
Totally.
Versus like, you're doing something wrong. Especially when we think about, I don't know, the narrative that is out there about resistant clients and stuff. I would never want a client right. to think that that's what I think.
Yeah.
Unless it's there. I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that some therapists can make that mistake about, mm-hmm. okay, so let's talk about what's going on. Yeah. I ask these questions and you say, I don't know what's happening there.
Yeah.
The reason why I asked is because now if that happens, again, it could be like client population. It could be that most of my clients I've worked with for a long time, but we don't have to make it a big deal.
I mean, we don't have to make it a big deal unless it's like every single, like we're not getting anywhere, which again, doesn't happen. Like we're saying, it doesn't yeah. happen very often. And with a client that I have had a long time, I might be like, okay, what's going on here? which yeah. is less gentle. But I think about teen clients, like, mm-hmm. I don't know, like there are populations where I think it's valuable to at least acknowledge that maybe the client hasn't answered a question in like 3 sessions or something.
Yeah.
That feels interesting.
I think that there's a difference here, I guess, in is the client saying, I don't know, a few times in the session? Or is this a real theme, yes. like an entrenched pattern that comes up between the two of you? I just think that 3 sessions is a long time for a client not to answer any questions.
100%.
So I would hope that we could address it earlier. I mean, obviously, if you have a rapport, it is like, what is happening?
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, this feels like something feels different today. And maybe I had a different idea about the situations in which clients are saying, I don't know, in yeah. that sometimes they say it once and a new therapist is like, ah.
Yeah.
Which
sure.
is a different.
Yeah.
A client says it once or twice and it is how to respond to that person versus a client who that's their go-to response over the course of sessions.
Like your relationship like with them. Totally. Yeah, I love that we're talking about this in a spectrum. And mm-hmm. I think how we respond is different depending on, yeah, you're right, like the quantity, the type, if it feels like it really, even when you're like popping up responses that aren't questions and it feels like they're being batted away, that feels different than like an occasional, I don't know. I mean, an occasional, I don't know, to me, it's just like, whatever. We just yeah. like roll past it.
Yes. But I think maybe, for a new therapist, it is scary.
Sure.
Even just course, one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, totally. So maybe what we're saying here in the having the here and now conversation is about when it's coming up more often or feels mm-hmm. Clinically relevant, feels like, ooh, something is charged here.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's because a therapist is harping. For some reason, sometimes words come out of my mouth and I'm like, is that offensive?
Like it could be offensive?
Oh, yes, Lord, yeah. Knows.
Yeah.
But that a therapist is pressuring a client to answer a very specific or go mm-hmm. to a very specific topic
mm-hmm.
when now it would just be let's shift to something else.
Yeah. Sure.
And it doesn't have to be a big thing at all.
When it does feel clinically charged or clinically relevant, I think that it's a really great example of the limitations of talk therapy. And so if I have a client who is saying, I don't know, a lot, even when I adjust the types of questions, even when I ask in different ways, even when I slow way down, that I might shift out of a talk place and consider other activities, like something movement-based, play-based. When I had even for adults, like a sand tray can be really amazing.
Love that.
If you have people on board, maybe creating something. So, I mean, something remarkable happens for some clients if you just give them a page to color while you're chatting with them versus mm-hmm. looking at each other one-on-one, being asked these questions. It can feel so, so different. Or things like role play or things like getting to the content via things that the client is interested in. Like, I think that mm-hmm. there are ways we can shift modality-wise, which is why I love, like, the existential umbrella, because we can do these kinds of things to get to something that's, like, parallel in the work but is not just chatting with each other. I like that.
And to me, the point of that is to try to make the therapeutic space, I don't know if space is the right word, the therapeutic window, how would you call that? Like it's like the process to get mm-hmm. into actual therapeutic process. How can we remove barriers or how can yeah. we find a way, like an inroad for this person to get there? Mm-hmm. Because I think for some people, the questions and therapy itself is like cringy. It's totally. Like,
how did that make you feel?
I don't know. And to have someone who maybe works better with drawing mm-hmm. and just like can draw, okay, you know, you there's not like a word of where you feel that in your body. Can you draw it?
Yeah.
But we want it to feel more accessible to the client yes. rather than less. So being able to try things out and know your client a little bit so that you don't alienate them further.
Yeah, I think collaboration is huge here. So this is where I think you can have the frank conversations about, you know, it looks like, it feels to me anyway, you tell me what you think. This is what I would say to a client. That the me just asking you questions and you feeling all this pressure. I mean, this is what I would say because I don't know. Maybe I don't know what's going on. All this pressure to answer correctly. I don't know how you feel. Does it feel like that's working for you? I'm going to assume they say no. Do you want to shift and try something different? Like there are options that we can do. We can sit in different places. We can bring other things into the room and see if we can get some buy-in from a client about shifting gears. If I have a client who I think is still even then not... Again, with teen clients, sometimes the conversation is different. I might just bring those things in and see if they respond to them. Like have a coloring page and pencils, you know, crayons on the table. And if they reach out to them, that's great. If they don't, that's okay too. But yeah, you're right. I find too with like coloring, playing, sometimes it can be really infantilizing to clients. So you don't want to do that and then be like, do you think I'm five? I don't want to do this. But if we can collaborate, I agree. I think that's better.
One of the common responses that you'll hear professors say or other experienced therapists, if you say, oh my gosh, I have a client who is constantly saying, I don't know, how do I deal with that? A therapist might tell you, well, ask them what that's about. Like, what, tell me what you mean by I don't know. That's sort of the common thing that people tell therapists, or that's what we think that we should ask. And I find that off-putting for me personally. I think maybe it's just the way that it's phrased or the tone, because I absolutely ask, you know, when you say, I don't know, I'm wondering if it's my questions, like, am I asking the wrong questions? In some ways, ask them what's happening, but I cringe. I don't like to all of a sudden get into a space where I'm the role of the stereotypical therapist and they're the stereotypical client of me saying, tell me what you mean by I don't know. How does I don't know make you feel?
Yeah.
And how do we step out of that and be real?
Yeah. Yeah. It to me feels very in line with the stuff that you and I were taught around like answering a question when a client asks us a personal question by being like, what will change for you if I answer that? Or what would it mean to you if I answer that instead of just answering the question? Again, I don't think that that is inherently bad. Like we're saying there's space for analyzing, but there is something, I don't know if it's like flippant, classically pop psyche answers.
People have this idea of like Freud or like a movie therapist.
And I think what I don't like about it is that it, to me, it kind of reinforces the power piece. I'm going to ask until you give me an answer that isn't I don't know, or I'm going to keep burrowing down until we find what is down there. And what you and I are saying is like, sometimes there is something down there. Like my family never let me talk about myself. It's hard for me to do that. That's worthy of exploring. But sometimes it's just literally like, I don't know. And you asking me repeatedly is not helping me to like get closer to knowing. And so that's why I would prefer to use a different avenue to get there than the just like, pushing on this one moment. Now, sometimes I do push in moments. Like, it's so clinically different, you know, relevant. It has to be unique to each client. It has to be purposeful. We have to know the client well enough to know if it's worth going underneath or whatever. But just always responding to I don't know with that, I think is not clinically good.
I agree. That's sometimes people's go-to. What do you mean by I don't know? I think that it can be helpful if you feel on the hot seat and you really don't know what to do. Maybe I'll share about how that looks for me when I'm basically doing that, because I do that.
So what to do if a client says, I don't know, and then we don't know what to do. Here are some of the things that you and I do.
You're talking about on a larger scale over the course of three sessions, and it really feels like we're not connecting. So then let's maybe switch to a different way of accessing emotion or expressing ourselves. In the moment, a client says, I don't know, I might respond, especially if it's like the second or third time, I might just rephrase my question if I think that it was a poorly worded question. I might own like, yeah, you're right, that question doesn't make sense, does it? Okay, let me ask it in this way. there could be a lot of reasons why people say, I don't know, but I might say something like, making an assumption, yeah, I'm peppering you with a lot of questions right now.
I love that.
I imagine that it can be hard when somebody's asking you questions and you don't know how to respond to it. And I might just say, for my version of how does it feel when you say you don't know, it would be, what is happening? What happens for you when I ask that question and you say, I don't know? Because I'm trying to get to, you know, because I've had people surprise me. I want you to like me, and I'm worried that I'm not going to have the right answer. And that is not what I am thinking when they're saying, I don't know. So I think getting to the process level conversation, that's not like a big, let's talk about on a larger scale what's happening between us. When I ask this question and you say, I don't know, what's happening for you?
So a couple of things that I like to do if I really love what you said. I think there's space there to just shift into like, this is what's going on. Let's talk about it. If I do find that I like feels clinically necessary or relevant to get to an answer in some capacity, I might say something like, it's okay if you don't know, but what if you had to guess? Again, pops it into like, you don't have to have the right answer, which a shocking number of clients are thinking about. Like, am I saying the right thing, the most right thing, the most accurate thing, which for you and I is not at all very relevant, in fact. So I might say, what if you had to guess? So it's, you know, it doesn't have to be a perfect answer, but just what if you had to guess? And honestly, pausing after I don't know, just like count to three in your head, because sometimes just that tiny bit of silence can help a client formulate an answer. Although probably more than like 5 seconds of silence starts to, I think, be like unsettling as someone who's given an answer. I don't know if someone's just sitting there looking at me, smiling and waiting for something more. So be thoughtful about that length of time. I like offering suggestions too. So when I hear that story, if I'm you, I might feel blank. Does that like resonate with you at all? Right. So they've given an I don't know to what are you feeling? So I can start to like offer some suggestions.
Right.
I really like this one, and I haven't had to use it in a long time, but I'll say it's totally fine if you don't know, but if we had to look at the four feelings of mad, sad, bad, or glad, which one are you feeling closest to? And sometimes that even that just helps us to like step. You might just get an I don't know again, but that's fine. But I think any time that you're using one of these approaches or whatever you've developed on your own, we want to be leading with genuine curiosity. So we want it to be, your I don't know is fine, but I genuinely want to find out what's going on for you in some capacity, on some level. And so I would like to do this other thing to help us get there versus I'm totally freaking out of my head. I don't know what to do. So I'm just going to continue the peppering. Or I'm going to, I don't know, shift us over to something that feels so like whiplashy. Like, oh, that's fine. Anyway, how's your dad doing? And then it's like also not connected.
Right.
So I do think there's, I think we build it, but there is some skill around, okay, I don't know, can I shift into something that's still helpful, useful, relevant? And can I stay regulated as I'm doing that as the therapist?
The word that's coming to my mind is finesse. Like we just get way more finesse as we have more experience. So at the beginning, it really is like, clunky, what do I say next? Yes, yeah. Clunky. The other thing that we haven't really talked about is what the question is. We've sort of talked about sometimes it's a bad question, but there's an I don't know to asking what you're feeling.
Yeah,
and then there's
the most common one, I think.
What I think, but there's also like, why do you blah, blah, blah? Why questions? I don't know.
Why questions?
And so I guess I'm going to plug some of our episodes around the art of asking
the
questions.
The art of asking questions.
I think is a really good episode. If you haven't listened to it, that goes with this topic.
Yes.
Because, you know, you want to ask questions that are relevant and resonant and have answers that don't have to be perfect and don't, that there isn't a right or a wrong answer to it. We want to have our clients have self-reflection. And there's this orientation to self-reflection that I think new therapists have where they feel like they have to ask questions to move clients to like, do you see how these two things are connected? Like, how do you think your experience with your mom plays into your relationship now? Which that is not a question I would ask now.
It's too big.
And I think new therapists do ask it. Right?
Although I might say, does this feel, well, yeah, I might, it depends, I just, it always all depends, which is the most annoying answer when you talk to therapists. Yeah. Like, it depends. But if I have a long-standing rapport with someone, I might say something like, this feels really familiar, this feels like how things go down with your mom. Do they feel connected to you at all? But there is something about, like, here is A, here is B. Do you see them connected?
Yes.
That, you know, and we might be like making these constellations mm-hmm. when the clients still only see stars because we're in the work in a different way. We're not in their lives. So it's a lot to place at someone's feet. Like, don't you see this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Or like forcing mm-hmm. them to, right? Like, how is your relationship mm-hmm. with your mom showing up in your relationship? And, or like oh your, the way that you grew up, how is that coming through in your partnership right now? And I think that those types of questions, those big questions, are questions that you think are really good when you're new.
The core of that is good. But if someone asked me that right now, I would just be like, like in a million different ways.
Yes.
Do you want, we have 5 hours for me to tell you? Like, it's almost like the I don't know comes from a place of like, how do we even start to dig in that?
Yes.
Like, it's this never ending pit. Yeah. Talk about like saying, I don't know, so that we don't have to talk about something. Like, I don't know.
I think, how do we ask questions, just to go back to the art of asking questions, how do you ask questions that almost like what you're talking about with the trying different modalities, where it's how do we lead someone into a conversation versus trying to plop them in?
Listen to the art of asking questions if you haven't already. So it might help.
Does it sound like I'm being mean
no.
to new therapists?
Who would you be being mean to?
To new therapists. I'm like, here are all the mistakes we were making.
I really needed someone to tell me the mistakes that I was making. I mean, a lot of them I figured out on my own, but I do think that I needed a podcast like this when I was a new therapist.
Oh, I would have loved this podcast as a new therapist.
Your questions are kind of clunky. And I would have been like, oh my God, I had no idea. I thought they were profound and beautiful. Mm-hmm. So listeners can let us know if they think we're being too harsh.
I'm laughing at myself.
Yeah.
About what I was like.
We're saying it to all of you, but actually, like, there's a mirror being held up. Like, we're mm-hmm. talking about ourselves because mm-hmm. this is what we used to do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess a final note that I want to leave therapists with, new therapists, and I hope this isn't scary, is that I do think that there's a level of having to be prepared. Maybe not flowchart prepared. No offense, Jordan. But, like, ready and prepared to respond to I don't knows and ready and able to guide a session if necessary. Mm-hmm. A lot of clients are going to do the work for us. A lot of clients, especially the clients that you and I see, are coming to therapy and they can kind of like do the walk and we are there just to kind of be like, what about this? What about this? And there are a lot of clients who come to therapy, don't know what to expect, don't know how to do it, don't really know how it works. Maybe it's the very first time they're ever slowing down to look mm-hmm. at their internal world, to ask themselves questions, to get to know themselves differently. So this is like riding a bike, and we don't expect a person to pick up learning a new language on the first day, learning an instrument. Therapy is very similar. So there's these various roles that we play as therapists. All of you and us have to be ready to sometimes guide a session, lead a session.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess if I'm going to leave a final note, the fear, our response to I don't know, comes from our imposter syndrome.
Yes.
It's, you can respond to it in the moment. It doesn't make you a bad therapist to have a client say, I don't know.
Yeah, no, definitely
and
not.
To ask a bad question, like we're sort of making light of asking a bad question. You and I also ask bad questions. We just the finesse to know how to change gears and rephrase.
Just own it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it doesn't crush me in the same way mm-hmm. of having a client say, I don't know, and not know what to do and feel like it's my fault and I should have done something differently. So
yeah.
I don't know is not, it's not bad. It's just more information.
Yeah, sure. I love that. And it doesn't speak to your competence as a therapist. If a mm-hmm. client is saying, I don't know, I mean, maybe 100% of your questions are bad. I'm going to assume that they're not. But I think that it's very common. And so the responding to I don't know is a very common muscle for therapists that they need to work on and practice and strengthen.
And then it will get easier. It will get easier for sure. This was on our list of topics. Somebody probably suggested it at some point.
I think it was.
And you and I kind of went to, but it doesn't feel like that juicy of a topic. But then as you and I talked 10 about, years I was ago. Like, oh, yeah, it was yeah. terrible. That was a yeah. really big thing. Mm-hmm. That was a big question that I think I had as a new therapist. I have no idea how to respond to this.
Yeah.
That situation does not feel relevant to me anymore, really, because it wouldn't even really register that a client says, I don't know, because we're attuned and we change direction and
we're
it
in just the dance.
It doesn't feel like, you know, like I pass something and they drop it. It really feels like, hey, we're keeping things in the air. And
yeah. And the I don't know is like a
just a another volley
that comes up. Yes. Yeah. I love that that's how we're framing it is like, I don't know. Okay. Great. Yeah. Now what? Versus like, I don't know. Oh, God. This whole session is spiraling into yes. a disaster, which used to happen, I think, to me. Like, it would be like, I don't know, would then set me on a course of, like, spinning out.
Yes.
Questions get progressively worse and, like, faster and the quality disintegrates.
That is so accurate.
versus, like, I don't know, being like, great, a permission to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Mm-hmm. So there's reframing that we can do, too. As always, we want to know what you think. How is it for you when you hear I don't knows? Does it feel like a lead balloon that falls in the middle of your session? Does it feel like it sets you on a course of spiraling like it did me? Yeah, any other, you know, thoughts? We'd love to hear.
You can find us at Edge of the Couch Pod on Instagram. DM us there. Allison is running the account. So if you message, she will be the one who responds. We don't have yes. like another person doing no, our social media for us. We would love to hear if you have any other topic ideas. Oh, and we also have this thing that we want to do for our 100th episode, which is coming in 10 episodes
yeah,
from now?
8 episodes now, yeah.
We have this thing called SpeakPipe where you can leave us a voice note. So it's speakpipe.com/edgeofthecouch. If you could send us just a little clip of you saying either your favorite episode of Edge of the Couch or something that you learned and are now have now put it into practice and has now mm-hmm. become part of your practice, or if you have a question. So we're going to take your voices. Hopefully there are enough of them for us to create an episode.
We're going to have to be doing fake voices yes. otherwise, like calling in yes. as different Hello. People. Like, my name's Tina. And my favorite part of the podcast.
Don't make us do fake voices.
Yeah, please.
Please send us some voice notes. Speakpipe.com/edgeofthecouch. You can also follow us on Patreon, patreon.com/edgeofthecouch. What was our most recent episode? Obviously, Couples. These episodes come out on our main feed. We record them more in advance.
Sometimes weeks ahead, yeah.
More than we do for our Patreon episode. But what one came out at time of recording?
Couples Therapy dropped today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, mm-hmm.
That's out now. It was great.
There are yeah. so, actually, like, going through it, I did recently, I was like, there's a lot of great stuff on here. Very juicy topics. And there must now be, like, I don't even know how many episodes, but lots of extra content.
Mm-hmm. At least yeah. another season's worth.
Oh, and I think more.
Yeah.
We should probably know that. Yeah. But I don't right now, so.
Yeah. Lots of stuff. You can see our faces because we also post mm-hmm. video there once in a while. So it's unedited, and then we also... You can see our faces in our
reactions.
Yeah, our mannerisms. Yeah. Thanks for listening, and we'll Thank talk you, to you everyone. Next week.
Hey, this is Shelby from Jane, an online clinic management software and EMR. Here at Jane, we understand that switching clinic software can feel a little overwhelming. You're not alone. That's why with Jane, you don't just get a software, you get a whole support team dedicated to your success. With unlimited phone, email, and live chat support included in every Jane subscription, we're here with you every step of the way. You can also book a one-on-one account setup consultation to review your settings before going live. And to help make the move as smooth as possible, we offer a free data import from an experienced team. Our import specialists ensure that the data from your current software or filing cabinet is smoothly transferred to all the right spots. If you'd like some extra advice along the way, tap into a lovely community of practitioners, clinic owners, and front desk staff through Jane's community Facebook group. Head to jane.app/switch to book a personalized demo. Or if you're ready to get started, you can mention the show at sign up for a 1 month grace period on your new account.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Send us an email at connect@edgeofthecouch.com to tell us what you think, ask a question, or let us know what type of episode you'd love to hear. You can even send us a voice note for us to play in a future episode.
you can support us by giving us a review on Apple Podcasts, sharing the show with a friend, or supporting us on Patreon.
Join us next time at The Edge of the Couch.